Well, Merry Christmas, everybody!
Merry Christmas!
How wonderful to see you all! Oh, our Jesus is so special. Here I go again. During the worship, I had a hard time holding the tears back. And you may have to listen through my tears as I teach, because Jesus is so wonderful and we are so blessed. Oh my goodness. So you think this is Christmas morning and you're here for a Christmas message. And normally we expect, okay, everybody turn to Luke chapter 2, right? Not today. We are going to have an opportunity to look at things from a different perspective. Some things may sound familiar, and if they do, just look at it in a new perspective. But then again, you might hear something different for a Christmas message. And if it's something new and different, what you want to do is take it and run with it and have it help you to grow closer to Jesus, to grow closer to Him and to appreciate and love Him all the more. Because we celebrate Christmas Day as the day Jesus was born as a man. So today we're going to stretch and we're going to grow. So let's begin by going way, way back in time, back before Genesis chapter 1. Okay, now we're going to need to use our imaginations a little bit on this, but I think that shouldn't be a problem, right? Because who gave us our imaginations? God. When He created us, He gave us wonderful ability to envision things. We especially want to make sure they're godly things. So now picture back in heaven, the Father and the Son having sweet fellowship. And it's been this way, and they're just enjoying each other, and they're enjoying the fellowship, and it's so wonderful. But then God the Creator, Father God, says, what do you think if we were to create some creatures in our likeness and in our image, and then we can have all the more to have fellowship with? What do you think? Isn't that a good idea?
Yes.
Well, we know Jesus was in agreement. And as this plan took shape, God, knowing the end from the beginning, God who knows all things, saw that His creation, Adam, would fall, that he would sin, and then that would block the ability to fellowship with God. So they had to have a plan. They had to know that there is a way that mankind could be redeemed back to God, so that God's plan and purpose for creating us to have fellowship with us would still happen, right? And so after some discussion, it was decided, and personally, I believe Jesus volunteered. I have no way of proving it, but you know, He already loved us so much. The Word says He loved us from before we were even created. He just was, God is love. He was so full of love. He wanted to share that love, and He looked forward to our being there to share it with Him. So, knowing that man would sin, knowing that man could not pay the price, Jesus knew He had to come to earth as one of His creation. He had to give up the glories of heaven. He had to give up the glories and the peace and the joy and all the wonder of heaven to become one of His creation in a world that was full of sin. And He had to start from becoming a baby. You know, Isaiah 53, verse 10 in the King James Version says, it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. God was willing to give Jesus for us, and we hadn't even been created yet. And in the Message Bible, it says it's what God had in mind all along. That he knew that Jesus would have to. He knew that Jesus was the only one who could. That Jesus, who became man, then faced every temptation such as we do. Faced everything along the way and managed to do it in the power of the Word of God and in the Holy Spirit. And he never sinned. So he was the one and only that ever could have paid that price for us. So let's go to the outline now. I entitled this teaching, Great Expectations. Today is a beginning, and from that we can have great expectations. So A, why Christmas? Has anybody ever asked you that question before? Why Christmas? Well, Revelation 13:8 says that Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So here is the verification. They had this conversation. This was the decision. And as far as they were concerned, it was already a done deal. Isn't that what walking by faith is all about? Don't we find that we can't always see what's going on? We have to just take steps knowing that God promises what's coming next. Whether we see it with our physical eyes, we want to see it with our spiritual eye to do it the way God wants us to do it. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. I'm going to read this particular passage in three different translations, starting with New King James. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. I like what Amplify does with this passage, so let this same attitude, this is Amplified Classic, let the same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. In other words, let him be your example in humility, who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, he did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. But he stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity so as to assume the guise of a servant or a slave, in that he became like men and was born as a human being. And after he appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. Now, in the American Standard Version, where we hear that he stripped himself, it says he emptied himself. He, as Son of God, emptied out all of the glories of heaven, all of who he was as the Son of God, and became the Son of Man. All the way through the whole process. You know, a lot of times people go to work for companies and they say, you got to start at the bottom. You can't just jump into a management position. You got to work your way up. You got to experience all of this. Well, that's exactly what Jesus did. He started at the bottom. He started as a little baby for us. You know, the last secular job that I worked a Monday through Friday schedule, and it was regardless of holidays. So 1 year, Christmas fell on a weekday, and I was there. And this lady, who is a Jehovah's Witness, came in to the office to pick up her paycheck. And it was Christmas Day, it was December 25th, and she came in going on and on and on about how December 25th was not the day Jesus was born. And she was just having a real big problem with that, and she was just muttering and complaining and going on and on. And in the midst of that, I said, yes, I know. And she kept going, and then all of a sudden she stopped and she looked at me and she said, did you just say, you know? Really? I said, yes. I said, but what difference does it make? You're trying to be precise in that we can't possibly celebrate the birth of Jesus on this day because that's not the right day. How about the whole world knows about the birth of Jesus Christ? The whole world knows this is Christmas. Unfortunately, they lean a little too much toward the Santa end of things, which we know Satan wanted to make sure of that. But that's what we're here for, to bring back
Hallelujah.
Who Jesus is.
Yes.
Jesus is the reason for Amen. Every season, not yes. just Christmas. Amen. That was
Hallelujah.
Just the beginning.
Hallelujah.
So she listened, and I said, you know, we get to witness about Jesus. We don't get to hold back. Everybody expects, if this is Christmas, it's about Jesus, and gee, we can talk about Jesus. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's our witnessing opportunity. We can be evangelistic during this season. And she thought about it, and she goes, wow, I never thought about it like that before. I said, so the fact that he was born is what counts. The day, so we pick a day and we celebrate the day. That's what it's all about, is what who he is and what he did. You know what's interesting about that? Before that day, she'd been just like, meh, toward me. And it just, the Lord ministered through me to her, that it softened her heart. And she was like a best buddy after that. And when I left the company, she gave me one of the most beautiful gifts of anybody.
Wow.
So God can use that situation for me to minister to her. And I receive benefits also. Whenever we share Jesus, there's always the benefit of knowing that we talked about the most wonderful person. Ladies, when we go shopping and we find a bargain, what do? Do we keep it to ourselves?
No.
No. We call up all our friends and say, hey, you got to go to such and such a store. They're having a big sale on such and such clothes. And they're just beautiful. And it's a really good price. And you don't want to miss out, right? We do that, right?
Yep.
With clothes, with movies, with whatever. With restaurants.
Yep.
How about with Jesus?
Yep.
Tell the world, hey, you need to meet my best friend. My best friend is Jesus, and he's so wonderful. You've never met anybody like him before. Yay?
Amen.
Yay.
Amen.
So we now have a new year coming up. It's very soon, and we should want to enter into it with earnest expectations of great and godly things, because of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. So let's go back to the outline. And we're at B, letter B, earnest expectations. Okay, Philippians 1, 19 and 20. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Wow, look at that. You're involved with the partnership with prayer, and we've got the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God. That's pretty cool. According to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always. As always. Are we always bold? We might need to work on that a little bit. We might need to re-listen to some of Pastor Karen's and Pastor James' teachings about fear and get rid of that fear, because what keeps us back from being bold is, ta-da, fear. Right. Okay. So next time you want to think you should be bold and you think the Lord's telling you to witness to somebody, just, and you know, that little spirit of fear is like, you don't want to do that. What are they going to think about you? You know, all these little conversations that they like to have with you. And we're just going to shut them off and kick them out and say, in the name of Jesus, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of boldness. And I'm going forth and I'm witnessing Jesus. Okay, so with all boldness as always, so now also Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing will be magnified in my body. Hallelujah. Psalm 62:5. My soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. So it's all about what he's done for us, what he has for us. We look to him, and let me tell you, I know we have all experienced putting expectations on other people, and we get disappointed, don't we? And what the Word of God is saying here is, don't put your expectations in people, put them in God. Put them in God. He's the one who's dependable. He's the one we can count on. He's the one who will do what he says he will do. So make sure our expectation, so that means we got to learn the Word of God really, really well, right? Because the more we know the Word of God, the more we know what to expect from God. Okay, moving on to number three, Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Wow. You realize that God gave up the ultimate sacrifice. He gave his best. He gave his son. He held nothing back. And if he did that for us, why do we hesitate to say, oh God, you know, I don't know if I'm worthy enough, or I don't know if I really deserve all of the good things that you have. You know, it's a wonderful covenant. You sure it's for me too? And God's going, no, don't think that way. Jesus bought and paid for you with a precious price. And if he gave his life for us, what else that we need to be overcomers, to be alive and remain when Jesus returns? What else will he not give us? There's nothing that he would hold back. It's really, the ball's really in our court. It's really up to us to desire it. Desire it with a fervent passion, to go after it and to grab it and run hold. Grab hold of it and run with it. It's up to us. He's done all that he's going to do. He's waiting on us to take that step and grab hold of him, to run with him. Wow, he's so awesome. We know these are wonderful gifts because James 1:17 tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning. Wow. He's saying he's absolute, he's dependable, there's no variation. We can trust him. We can depend on him. You know, recently, Pastor Joshua and I saw a Christmas movie that we had never seen before. It's called The Bishop's Wife. Has quite a cast for being a movie never heard of before. Cary Grant, David Niven, and Loretta Young. Yeah, really, really all good actors, and it was a well-done movie. And it was back from the 40s when a movie was a godly thing. In all respect, there was a lot of scripture in there. And I was like, wow, praise the Lord. That was exciting to hear that. You know, with this, these popular stars are speaking scripture. The movie was speaking scripture. And there was one point that really stood out to me about this movie. They were talking about how busy we all get, running around, buying gifts, filling stockings for everyone else. And they said, what about Jesus' stocking? Is it hanging empty? Have we given Jesus his gift? Or in honor of him, we're just giving gifts to everybody else? It is, after all, that it's his birthday. But more than that, let's remember that Jesus left heaven giving up everything to give himself to us. So our best Christmas gift to him is that we should give up our everything, all that we are and all that we have, in order to give ourselves totally to him, for that would be Jesus' best gift ever. We look at the song, The Little Drummer Boy, and I cry with that because I see this little child so drawn to Jesus. And he's thinking, I don't have anything to give him. I'm just a little drummer boy. I'm poor, I don't have much. But he said, what can I do for him? Well, I can play my drum. And so he came before Jesus and he gave him what he had to give. He couldn't give him what he didn't have, so he gave him what he had. And he just presented himself and his drum, and he played for Jesus. And the end of the song says, he saw Jesus smile at him. He was pleased. He accepted the gift. We need to think in terms of that too. We want to give him our very best. Okay. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So now let's move forward from this day with great expectations. We talked about earnest expectations in part B, so let's move it up to great expectations of God's power and ability working to us and through us. Remember what the overview says? Jesus is the reason for every season. So Christmas does give us a very bold opportunity to be able to share Jesus easily. But let's remember to do it year round. For us, every day should be Christmas. Every day, Good Friday. Every day, Resurrection Day. That's why you're hearing about this on Christmas. Because why Christmas? Yes, Jesus was born. Why was Jesus born? He was born with a purpose and a plan. And so we're taking a vision at the whole picture. Why he came. Okay, so let's go back to the outline. C, great expectations. Genesis 18:14 says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? In other words, no, there's nothing too difficult for God. And I would add, no, and to prove it, you go on reading, at the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. So it's like, is anything too hard for the Lord? Just to answer your question, here's this woman, 90 years old, and she's getting pregnant and having a son. Is anything too hard for God? Nah, not at all. Luke 1:37 says, with God, nothing will be impossible, right? Okay, now the word of God says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing is established. Okay? Okay, so we've had witness number one, witness number two. Let's go take a look at witness number three. And this comes from Matthew 19:26. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." All things, no matter how difficult. He was talking to his disciples at the time about rich men getting saved. And they talked about the camel going through the eye of the needle. Well, those of us who do any sewing whatsoever know that those eyes can be pretty small, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you picture a camel, which is really huge, big enough for us to sit and ride on, going through the eye of a needle. But God's saying, not a problem. Nothing's impossible. Okay, let's go to witness number four, which will be Mark 9:23. Again, Jesus speaking said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." If you can believe. I figured that little two-letter word is one of the biggest words in the entire dictionary. If. It's just tiny, two little letters, but so much hinges on all of the ifs in the Bible. There are so many promises. Usually they have a condition, and that condition begins with if. And it's like God saying, Jesus has paid the price. He's already gone before. It's all done. It's all laid out in the spiritual realm. It's all paid for in full, complete. But now you have to receive it yourself into your own life, into this physical, natural realm. So our part is simply the receiving end. It's actually the easier end when you stop to think about it. Our part is so small compared to what Jesus has done. We want definitely to know that Jesus, appreciate him for all that he has done. So if you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Okay? So there he's saying, all things are possible, but not to just anybody. Impossible to those who believe. Those who trust in God. Those who put the leaning of their entire being on God. You know, so many times when we've come to this verse in, I think particularly in Healing School and School of Dominion, I'd be teaching on this, and I'd go over here, and the first time I did it, my husband was totally unaware that I was going to do this, but I just went over there and just fell backwards into his arms, which were not outstretched at the time I started leaning back. But he very quickly realized what I was doing and reached out and grabbed me. Did I know he was going to do that? Yes, I had absolute confidence that he was going to be there to catch me. And he did. And if he can, how much more God? Right? Ooh, yeah. Okay, so now we come to number five, our favorite verse. My favorite verse, I should say, my very favorite verse. Ephesians 3:20 and 21. And I'm going to read it in my favorite translation of this verse, which is the Amplified Translation. "Now to him who, by and in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above." And I like when Pastor Matthew teaches, he talks about far, far, far. I mean, you just push it way out there. No matter how far you push it, guess what? God says, not far enough. I can take it farther. So far over and above all that we, listen to this, even dare ask or think. Do we dare ask it? God, does that sound too big? Does that sound impossible? God, can you do that? He says, we should dare. There's part of the boldness again. Let's trust him. Let's reach out. Even above all that we even dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So be it. Amen. Woo! Amen. Can anybody see why that's my favorite verse? That's one powerful one. And if you ever get challenged with being discouraged or depressed or down and under, whatever, read this verse out loud. Read it so heaven, hell, and earth and your ears can hear it.
Amen.
And remember who our God is. Let this encourage you.
Yes.
Now, the suggestion is let our expectations be from God alone. I felt that verse was worthy of repeating. And this time I'm going to read it in the Amplified Classic Translation. My soul wait only upon God and silently submit to him, for my hope and expectation are from him. In conclusion, I would like to read to you something that the Lord shared with me. Some time ago, actually, it was probably several months ago, that he gave me this. And you know, when the Lord starts to move on you and you get out your paper and your pen and you just start writing and writing and writing and it just floods out, and sometimes I have trouble keeping up with writing as fast as what the Lord's giving me input. I think many, if not most, if not all of you have been there. And what I'm about to share is something that God gave me from Ephesians 3:20. And I'm just going to read it as he gave it to me. So take it, apply it to yourself, see what parts of it you can apply in your life. As we're coming up to the new year of 2019, there are things we can do to change, to grow, to appreciate Jesus more, to love on him more, to grow closer to him. For as the world gets crazier and wilder and more evil, Isaiah says that the light shines in the darkness. We want to draw closer and closer to our God. We want to delve ourselves into his word and learn it and apply it. Do what he says to do and not do what he says not to do. We want to find out all the promises he paid for, an awesome covenant with his blood. What are the promises of that covenant that belong to me? Let's find out and let's walk with him. The essence is that God created us with abilities, with a plan, with a purpose for each one of our lives. And he is the infinite one. He is the creator. He is the master potter. And no matter what we think we want with our finite minds, with our limited experience, we have to realize that God knows better. Remember the TV show from way back when, Father Knows Best? Abba Daddy really does know best. When he was teaching me about my favorite verse, Ephesians 3:20, and I was really talking to him about this and really wanting to understand more, he said, and this is before I was married, before I even knew who my husband was going to be, he said, well, I want you to come to me and I want you to tell me what it is that you would like. And he said, don't hold back on the details. Be as specific as you can be and be as far up. Stretch yourself. So I laid before him some very specific things that I desired in a husband. And I know, based on conversations with other people, I had come to the point where I realized that it was like casting pearls before swine. Because people would say, oh, you can't do that. You can't expect that. Oh, that will never happen. So I stopped telling anyone else. I told only God. Because he knew. And you know what he told me? He said, that's wonderful. You've really taken the lid off the box. You've really stretched. You've really imagined. You've really gone beyond what others normally ask for. But you're finite. And the very best, the very most that you can stretch, the very farthest out that you can even dare imagine is still finite. It still doesn't come up to me and my infinite will for you, my infinite plan and purpose for your life. He said, here. I could see him just put his hand out and he said, take my hand. Walk with me. Ask me every moment of every day. Ask me, where do you want me to be? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say? What's your plan for me, Lord? He says, don't try to figure it out on your own. Ask me. Then he said, walk in it. We'll walk together, hand in hand. And as you walk and do what my plans are for you, what I created for you, the fulfillment will be beyond words. You won't be able to express except through tongues, through spiritual language, just allowing the Holy Spirit to bubble through you. You won't be able to express the joy, the fulfillment, because that's what you were created for. And that's what we're striving for. That's the goal. To be what God created us to be, because anything less than what he wants for us is bringing in dissatisfaction, is bringing in emptiness, is bringing in lack of fulfillment. Why in the world would we want to settle? The very best that we could think of, what we can imagine, is still settling, less than God's best. So we talk about getting rid of the past, making changes, looking for hindrances and the things that have been holding us back. In our hearts, we all want what God wants us to be to the fullest extent. But it's not automatic. We have to partner with God to receive what he already paid for us. But we can do it in him. We can't do it by ourselves. He wouldn't have presented it to us. He wouldn't have planned it for us if it weren't possible. With God, all things are possible to those who believe. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.